I know what you mean about studying and practicing, and you're just like, you know what, I feel like I got it, and you get up here like, okay, I don't know what happened to that. But it was just right. Because you know what, I will take a spirit of the Lord moving in a service over a perfect sounding service any day. Mm-hmm. You know what, there's a lot of servers, they've got the best angelic singers in the world, and they actually pay people to come sing. But where's the spirit? You know, mm-hmm. I want the spirit of God, you know, amen. I want to say God bless every one of you. Thank you for being at your post of duty. We love our brother Tony. Whenever he sees this, God bless you, brother. We sure do love you, and can't wait to get you back in the saddle. Well, we're going to work you hard, so rest while you can. You say amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's go to our Bibles in Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 2. And we're going to speak to you on a thought tonight, conducted for victory. Conducted for victory. How many wants victory?
Amen.
Guess what? The Word wants you to have victory. The Word says you can have victory. The victory is for you. Amen. Amen. Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. We're going to read two scriptures here, and we'll go to the Lord in prayer after that. So it says, now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, differeth nothing from his servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. And let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity to be together, Lord. I ask you to settle my spirit, Lord, tonight, Lord, that I can, Lord, not be over anxious, Lord, of trying to go one way or the other, but just be perfect step with your spirit tonight. Lord, following you, Lord, let everything be said and ordained by you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. We must remember that this message goes much further than these walls right here. And we're not following something that was hatched up just from just a small group of people, but this is it's a message that's a worldwide bride. And it's something that there are a elect group of people all across the earth that have a deep call in their heart to follow this message, to follow this word, because this word is actually what quickens us. And I'll let's go to St. Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 and 11, and she'll have this on the multimedia. It says, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Jesus is demonstrating here that this is not for everybody. The elect is not everybody, but the elect is actually a small group of people that will hear the word. They'll have something that can catch this. And then St. John chapter 6, verse 44, it says, no man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. And then one more scripture in St. John 15:16. It says, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you." So this is a thing I was talking about. It's not just this small group of people in this building here or a small. This is a worldwide movement. It's a something that God is doing. And there's a group of people that are ordained to see it. There's a group of people that are elected that can actually have something inside them that can respond to the word. God's the one doing the choosing, and you are ordained that you will bring forth fruit. And you are ordained that your fruit will remain. And sometimes it's good to be reminded of that, that God's the one that's ordained me, and God's going to get me through this trial that I'm going through. Amen. And do you realize this means that you are ordained to overcome in this life? You are ordained to overcome your trial. Whatever trial is before you, you can look that devil in the face, say, "I was born to overcome you." Amen. And that's why I'm here. You are ordained to have victory. Let's go to one more scripture in Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 30. It says, "And we know that all things work together for them that love God, work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified." So it's God that's doing the calling, it's God that's doing the justifying, and it's God doing the glorifying. Amen? Amen. We must conduct ourselves for victory. And every seed will bring forth of its kind, and every seed has the potential within itself to overcome. And we're talking about the Son. He's no more than a servant as long as he's under the tutors, because he has to come to a maturity. Is that right? Because, you know, just real briefly to show you, God the Father would always give a son a tutor that would teach that son how to do things exactly how the Father would do it. So he wouldn't come with a different message. He wouldn't come with a different interpretation. He would say exactly what the Father would say, because that's the only way this son will come to the full potential of where he needs to be. And so what we're saying here is a seed inside of it has the potential inside of that seed to overcome. Right. And however, that seed, it must conduct itself for victory. And he's like, how in the world could a seed conduct itself? We're going to see. The semester, Brother Brim says, notice each church age, the same overcome when they, each son out of each church age, overcome the temptation of that age. I got the scriptures here. I don't think we'll have time to make it, but we know each one of the church ages somehow now. It's just someone who is. See, as I laid at the beginning, you are born defeated. And at the birth, you never bring you to life, because you were born defeated. And you're in a defeated world amongst defeated people, amongst defeated creeds, defeated denominations. You've got to come to victory some way. It's just like the lily. A lily, I think, is one of the most prettiest flowers that there is. I'm very fond of those great calif lilies, pond lily. I think there's something hardly as pretty as a big pond lily. Call it a water lily. How it radiates. Now, where does it come from? It's a seed down in the bottom of a muddy, mucky pond. And that little seed, yet all the radiance that'll ever shine in it is in it right then, when it's in the mud. But it has to strive daily, knowing that there is something. It's black, it's dirty, it's mucky, it's slimy, and that slime that it's living in, yet it presses its way through the mud, the muck, and the waters above the stagnant places until it sticks its head above in the light and expresses what's been hidden in it all the time. I think that's an overcomer. That once in sin, once did the things that's wrong, don't worry about it now, once did the things that was wrong, now why look at it back in the pond again, see? God, by his predestination, see, has brought this seed to life. And it's pressing itself, see, coming to light. And now, on the top of all that, it has overcome, see? It doesn't express itself down there. It's getting up to express itself. Neither did you in your sin and adultery and everything that you lived in. You didn't express nothing. But there was a seed in there, and it got a chance to press itself into the light. And now you're in the presence of Jesus Christ with the sunlight. It brought out what you really was in the beginning. You see what I mean? You saw the light. You bloomed out. You laid your heart open, and now you're a lily. I love that. This lily, all the radiance that was ever in that pond lily was in it while it was in the muck and the mire and everything that it was. It was already there, but it needed an opportunity to draw out what it was. And it makes me think of that son that is sitting under the tutors. There is everything inside him already to become what the Father had laid out for him to be. And the Father gave and provided way to draw that out of him. And how did he do it? He sent a tutor. He sent somebody that will give the same message that the Father would give if he was standing in his place. And that tutor, that Holy Spirit, is our tutor tonight. That Holy Spirit is showing us and teaching us, and it's giving us an opportunity to become who God has called us to be. But he says that seed had to press itself to the light. And that's what we must do to be able to conduct ourselves to victory, is we must individually press ourselves to the light. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard because you're in the muck in the world. You didn't choose the family you were born in. You didn't choose the location that you were going to be in, the circumstances that come against you. You didn't choose those things. But God, through every bit of that, has ordained you that you will overcome. No matter what your trial is, God has a perfect identity of who you are. And God, by his word, by his light, he is drawing out that identity out of you. Amen? The seed has no choosing for how it comes into this world, no more than any of us do. You didn't choose your family. You didn't choose where you were, how your circumstances that happened to you. No more than Rebecca could control the circumstances that happened to her whenever Eliezer crossed her path. However, there was something Rebecca could control, and that is what she did with her chance when the light crossed her path. We didn't have any choosing of the life that we were born into. But we did have a choice of what we did with the word when it crossed our path. Right. Amen? Right. The son is under a tutor, and he can't control a lot of things, but that is one thing he can't control. And we must conduct ourselves for victory. You were always a son. You just weren't there yet. Right. You say amen?
Amen.
I'm a son. You weren't expressing who you were yet. And Brother Brim says in that pond lily, while he's down there, he's not expressing who he is. Have you ever seen, you know, a lot of people take pictures of flowers. Have you ever seen somebody take a picture with a root of a pond lily? Like, man, this thing's beautiful, ain't it? Look at this root. Because it's not to its full potential. There's nothing about that. Because that pond lily has a purpose in this life. And that pond lily's purpose is to express its beauty. But it cannot do that until it comes to full maturity. And that's the way it is with a Christian. That's the way it is with you and I, brother and sister. We can't fully serve our intended purpose until we come to maturity, whenever we push ourselves through the mud, through the muck, through the mire, through the things that are trying to weigh us down. And the only way we can do that is we must, listen to this, the only way you'll ever do that to overcome this age, to overcome all the things, you must press yourself to the light. It will not be easy. You will have to press yourself, because if it was easy, everybody would do it.
Right.
You got to press yourself. Amen. Mm-hmm. The light is what brings out who you really are. Brother Brown says this. He said, now you got truth, but you've got to come to it different than just a big hilarity, you know. What I mean, just something to be hollering about. I believe in hollering about it. Has got something to holler about. But be sure you approach that with the very depths of sincerity. If you live a different life than what you should live, keep still until you get that life. Gets living in you, then automatically. You know, a sheep isn't asked to manufacture wool. No, he can't manufacture it. These gifts cannot be manufactured by emotion. This church cannot be manufactured by organization. A sheep bears wool because he is a sheep. He can't help bearing wool, for his whole system is made up to bear wool. We must be what we are inside, not something on the outside. a sheep, everything inside his system is to bear wool. And I can say the same thing about you, brother and sister. Your whole system of this, that's inside the seed that God put inside you, is to bear this message. How can I do it, Brother Daniel? Press to the light. Keep pressing toward the light, because that seed inside you is the one that will do the work. It's the thing that will make you who you are. Amen. Your whole system within you is a child of God. But we must lay under the tutorship of the Holy Spirit. The light will draw out of you the potential that is already there. Remember, we are not just talking about this assembly here. We're talking about this is a message to the world, and we're a part of this. Now catch these things. Brother Brim says, he said, well, what have we done? We've added members, got better churches, bigger membership. And the reason I say that, we're not just talking about this church, is because you know what? We're not a mega church. This is a worldwide message, but I'm telling you what, if we will take the same concept and apply it to our lives, we'll catch what Brother Brim is saying. Yeah. He says, what have we done? We've added members, we've got better churches, bigger membership. What we need is quality, not quantity. That's the trouble. That's the hunting of the bride today. Eliezer had an awful time finding quality. Then to get her ready to go was the next thing after he found it. So that's the thing to do. We're hunting for that now. The Holy Spirit, God's servant as Eliezer was, is hunting for that quality, that genuineness. That's something that won't take back on God's word. It'll stand there, live or die, say it's the truth. God said so, and that settles it. It's one thing to find the bride, but it's another thing to get the bride ready for the rapture. Right. And a father would, as I would say earlier, says the father would give a tutor to his son, and it would teach him all of the father's desires. And this tutor will teach the son how to conduct himself for victory. So for that son to be, as simple as it may sound, for that son to be conducted for victory, he must listen to what the tutor's trying to tell him. And that's what it is, brother. Whenever we listen to what the word is trying to tell you, through the tapes and through the fivefold ministry of preaching to you, what are you trying to tell me? Press to that light. Amen. The Holy Spirit's the tutor. It would be a wonderful thing for the tutor to be able to come back to the father and say, you know what? They are listening to everything that I'm saying. And again, we're talking about not just this church. We're talking about in general, the whole world, okay? Right. It would be a wonderful thing for that tutor to come back and say, Father, we're just going to tell you, they're listening to every word you're saying. You're giving me the message. I'm giving straight to them, and they're saying amen, and they're running with it. It would be a wonderful thing. But let me ask you, what kind of report would the tutor have to give to the father about you and me and about the churches around us? And we're not talking about just denominational churches. We're talking about message churches. We've been given this message for nearly 60 years. We've had this message. What kind of report will he give with what we've done with what he's given us? You say amen. I want him to have a good report for me. I want a good report. The way man has changed the word to match his ideas and his opinions. The churches have begun to get the people to line up with the church rather than just the word. And brother and sister, we have to be careful that we don't fall ourselves into that category of where we line ourselves up with one another. The scripture says, commend yourselves to one another as a fool. You will stumble and you will fall if we commend ourselves to one another. Because you know what? The devil will try so hard to attack your best friends. Not of making them a bad person, but if they start slacking and you're commending yourself with them while they're slacking, guess what? You're going to think you're okay, but you're both slacking now. That's why it's so important that we keep our eyes on this word. Brother Branham said, you stay with the word. Keep your eyes on the word. Amen. Amen. And this is, just bear with me for just a moment. This is something I see in myself, in my little ministry that I have, in myself, of the little life that I've lived. And best of intentions around the message, that's what I've seen so many people do. They try to say, the message is my absolute. But Brother Branham said, you should take it all back to the Bible. Right. Because if you just take the message and, well, this is what he said, 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 you're going by that, you're going by that, you're going by that, and you're not taking it back to the Bible, you're going to be drifting, even though you have the perfect word that's been given, but you're going to get on the demands interpretation. Yeah. Everything must go back to this Bible. That's what made Brother Branham a prophet. He didn't say, put your Bibles away, follow what I'm preaching. Now, he never said that. He always took his back to the Bible. And when we do that, we'll find out it lines up absolutely perfect. Right. Is that right? Amen. This is our absolute. It's so important. Just like doing math. When you're doing math, you can do 2 times 2 is 4. And you can go backwards with it. And you can double check your math. Well, it's the same way with the message in the Bible. We must take the message that's been given to us and take it back to the Bible. And you'll find out. Praise God. That's right. You say, well, Brother Daniel, are you afraid you might run it? Just like Brother Brennan said, if a ministry can be run, we want it to be run. So if you take me, and Brother Tony would tell you the same thing. Take what we preach back to the Bible. Because when you say, you know what, that adds up. We need to say, praise God, let's do this, because it's right. Yeah. You say amen. I believe Brother Tony was here. He'd say amen. Because you know what? Brother Brennan said, you know what? Check it with the Word. Amen. Brother Branham never pointed to himself, and he never pointed to his sons. You say amen. He always pointed us back to the absolute. He always said the Bible. The Bible is our absolute. But look what he says. He says, now listen to every word. Catch it. And if you're taking it on tapes or anything, when you stay right with that tape teaching, don't say nothing but what that tape says. Just say just exactly what the tape says. See? Now, because of some of those things, we're going to understand a whole lot about this, why it's misunderstood. See? And you be sure, just say what the tape says. Don't say nothing else. See? Because I don't say that of my own. It's him that says it, you see? So many times, confusion. People raise up and say, well, so-and-so said it meant so-and-so. Just leave it the way it is. And that's in God and simplicity. You say amen. Don't try to interpret to me what Brother Brown said. Just tell me what he said. Don't try to interpret to me what the Bible said. Just tell me what it says. Because when you do it that way, it will be right. If you take something that's perfect and you add or you change anything, it's not perfect anymore. You've tainted it, and that's the same way it is with the Word. We need the original Word that was sown through the prophet, going, taking it straight back to the Word, because if we do that, we'll get the same results. Right. But if you change it, you hybridize it. You hybridize it. We talk about denomination to hybridize it. Message can do the same thing when they try to do with their interpretation. We want to leave this message exactly the way it is. Amen. I praise God we have a minister, I believe, that does that. He would clearly say, I predict, I do not prophesy, I predict thus and thus. And people say, nope, he said by this, so that's the same as prophecy. No, what did he say? I predict, I do not prophesy. Leave it at that. Stop trying to make it work. Stop trying to make him a prophet and just let him be a prophet. Can you say amen? Don't try to make the prophecy. Don't cut short. Say, you know what? This is really what it really meant. No, leave it like he said. Right. Because if you change it, you're adding your interpretation to it.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. That's why there's so much confusion that's happening around the message. And I said, what kind of report would the tutor have to give the father with what's been done with the message? Because if the tutor gave you the message, well, I think the father said this is what it is, but this is really what he means. Don't do that. Just say exactly what the father said.
Right.
You say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Because, and you'll see why it's so important in just a minute. God don't need anyone to cut corners to make it happen, to make a prophecy come to pass.
Right.
Because when man adds an interpretation, this is the thing about it. When man begins to add his interpretation, he begins to dim the light. And this gospel light, is this message of the hour, is what brings the seed to full maturity. And that means we need the original word preached exactly the original way with the same anointing, the same fire, and we'll get the same results.
Amen.
But if we add interpretation, we will dim the light, and you'll be no different than a glare of another church age of a denominational light. Because it's been tainted. Amen? It's got to be the original light, the original word.
Amen.
Jesus came exactly according to how the scripture said he would come, and people missed him. The religious elders missed him because they, Because they had this, they said, when he comes, this is how he will come when Jesus comes. When the Messiah comes, this is how he will come. And he comes so simple they didn't even recognize it. Now catch this. There was an appearing of Jesus Christ upon the earth. And I forget the exact math, but just for the sake of this conversation, but we're saying, let's just say a third of the world knew that Jesus Christ was on the earth.
Right.
And out of that third, a third of that followed him. And then out of that third, they're the ones that truly believed him.
Right.
And listen, there's a message of the hour again. The Spirit of God, the Word of God, through manifestation of showing Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Same ministry of showing this is Jesus Christ on the earth through the ministry. And they'll say it this way. A third of the world followed it. A third of the world believed it. Or a third of the world knew he was here. A third of the world followed it. A third of the world believed it. This bride's going to be so small, brother and sister, of people that because they're going to miss it. It's because they're expecting it to come some other way. And that's where we got to go. That's what I love about Martin Luther. It's one of the greatest things about Martin Luther is through all the fanaticism, he was able to keep treading right down the middle. And I believe that's what it is with us today. Through all the fanaticism, even around the message, that he's got an elect group of people that are walking right down the middle of the road. Amen? Not greasy grace, not walking by law, walking with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. With a person. While all the fussing over quotes and interpretations and all these things are all going, there is a pond lily bride that's pressing right through.
Amen.
While they're doing all the bickering and all the fighting, you've got a pond lily. You've got people that says, I'm trying to press through this thing.
Amen.
Going through trials, going through all these things in your life. Don't look at the fussing and the fighting. Don't look at all this stuff. You look to the light. And you keep pressing toward that light. And what do you mean by the light, brother? It's the message that God has given us. Listen to me. I'll catch this, brother and sister. If you go home with anything, and I'll go home with this, it is so important that you listen to those tapes. Because when you listen to those tapes, you are getting an anointing from those tapes, brother and sister. It's a voice. It is not Brother Branham. It's an angel of the Lord that was with Brother Branham. Whenever he would come, people would come to the prayer line, people would be afraid. He said, don't be afraid. That's not me. That's the angel of the Lord that you're feeling right there. Brother and sister, that same anointing was there for divine healing, for people to receive divine healing so they can catch. But he wasn't here just to get our attention.
Yeah.
But the real thing is for us to believe that word, have a transformed life from the inside out to where we can take a body change. And so this is a reality of what I'm going to say. The devil's tried so hard to pack that down to where it's just an emotion or just an idea. It's not just an emotion. It's not just an idea. There is going to be a rapture. There's going to be a body change. And it's not going to be the people that are fussing and fighting over quotes and all this stuff. They're going to miss it just like they missed Jesus Christ when he come upon the earth. Even though he come exactly the way the word said he would come, they still missed him.
Right.
And we got the message of the hour showing a real bride, a pond lily bride, of how she's going to come. And because she's not in that fussing and fighting.
Right.
She's, that pond lily's got one focus. I want to serve God's purpose in my life.
Amen.
That pond lily is fighting there. You know, he was in the muck and the mire and trying to push. He had to overcome, brother and sister. And that's exactly what we got to do. We have got to overcome. We have a tutor. We have the Holy Spirit. We must hearken diligently to what that Holy Spirit's saying to us. Because he wants to lead you to your intended purpose in this life. How many knows you've got a purpose in this life?
Amen.
Your purpose is not just to come to church. No, this ain't against anyone from lifting weights. My son Malachi loves to lift weights. And a few of you others like to lift weights too. But you know what? I remember when I used to lift weights going through there. I would say to myself, you know, what's the purpose of me doing this? Going and lifting weights? Because then I go home, I don't do nothing with it. I just lift weights. And I begin to think spiritually and say, why? If we're not careful, we'll find ourselves doing that with church. Why am I going to church just so I can just lift weights? No, it's what you do outside the doors. And that's what it is when you're lifting weights. When you're done lifting those weights, use that muscle for something. Use that help for something. And when we come in to hear the word preached, make us what we are, we have a purpose. And when we go out those doors, man, we express that purpose of being a pond lily. You say, man, that pond lily's going to take a picture one day. There's somebody that's going to say, oh my gosh, take a picture of this. And they're as ugly as a mud fence post. Not to be mean. But here's that beautiful pond lily. And it'd be me, the ugliest, ugliest fence post. You know what I'm saying? That pond lily has got a purpose in this life. And it's not to stay in the mud. It's not to stay in the mire. It's not to stay in those things. It's to push through those things to serve God's purpose. And listen, that child, as a servant until he comes to his maturity, he cannot serve his intended purpose until he pushes through all that stuff and listens to what the Father's trying to teach him to bring him to maturity. And that's what God's trying to do. He's trying to get a bride ready. I believe your bride already. I don't have to tell you that. I don't have to convince you you're bride. We just got to get you ready. You say amen. Me too. That's what we're doing. We're striving to get ready. And it will be by staying with this, what this word says. Amen. And I'm running out of time. I'm going to try to get through this. But Brim says, he said, you take the birds, lay their eggs in the springtime. The old mother bird can lay a nest of eggs. And she don't have to be with her mate. But she can lay them eggs and she can hover them. She can turn them. She can stay there till she starves herself. Till she gets so poor she can't get off the nest. And they'll never hatch. Why? They're rotten. They rot right in the nest, and that's what's the matter today. We took in so many members and so forth, babying them here, babying them there, just got the nest full of eggs. It's time to clean it out and get them people with the mate. Now, he didn't say get rid of the people. He said get the people with the mate, Christ Jesus, with the Word of God, back in action and power. Then we'll have revival that will shake something and do something. Then we'll see Christ right on the scene on the power. He cannot come as long as these things are blocking him. A person can block their revival from God. Right. A person, catch this, a person can block their own revival. How? Because they're not pressing toward the light. God's given you the word. God's told you what to do. But you've got to be the one that does it. You've got to be the one saying, you know what? I can do these things. I can do those things. I'm a free moral agent. I could do it, but I choose not to. I choose to serve God first. I choose to press myself toward the light. Because listen, there will be obstacles.
Yeah.
That little pond lily in the mud, it was not easy. There were sticks. There was rocks. There was all kinds of things. And maybe that thing felt like he was finally making some ground. And all of a sudden, a tree falls over on top of it. Now it's got another trial on top of it. That pond lily does not stop. Why? Because there's a life inside of it that says, I will press toward this light. And listen to me. That devil will throw obstacles against you. But you were created. You were ordained to overcome. You were called and ordained that you will overcome. You are going to take a rupture. I believe it's so important to always tell your kids how much you love them. And you always tell them, you are a son of God. You are a child of God. You're going to do great things in this life. My kids probably thought I was the craziest person in the world. And all the time I'd be telling them, you remember that? Mm-hmm. All the time. You are a child of God. You are going to overcome. You're going to do great things. You're going to do, what am I doing? Speaking the word into their life. Amen. Brother and sister, that's what we got to do with one another. Amen. We got to speak that word into one another. Hey, you are a child of God. Because you know, influence is so powerful. If you get around the wrong influence, it will drag you down. Right. Remember, you cannot commend yourself to one another. Because if your friend starts backsliding and they start following and you're just watching them, you will backslide right with them. That's why you've got to keep your eyes on the cross. You've got to keep your eyes on the light. You've got to keep yourself on it. Say, Lord, I want to overcome because the Holy Spirit is your tutor. And the Holy Spirit will give a report on how you are doing with the Father, to the Father. Amen. I want to give a good report on me. A couple more things and we'll be done, okay? A contractor, when he's going to build a building, he don't want to use poor material. Because you can follow the right plans, but if you got wrong material, you have an opportunity of failure inside that building. And it's not during the good times is when you'll have the problem. It's during a bad time. That's whenever the problem will happen. Brother Brim talked about the man that built the bridge, and he used bad materials, and he didn't go about it the right way. And there's a lot of people that were under that flood resting thinking that he built it right, did all these things right, and he did not build with the right materials. He didn't build the dam the right way. And because he did not do it in the middle of the night, a crash come through, and that dam gave way, and it killed all kinds of people. What's the point I'm trying to say? God has given us the right material. God has given us the right material of how to build it, and you can't build it with the wrong material. If you build it with the wrong material, it's not during the good times that you will understand that this thing's failing. It's during your bad times. Brother and sister, that's why it's so important we build it right. We got to build our experience right. And God gave us the right material. When God showed them how to build the tabernacle, he told them, this is the material that you use. This is the dimensions that you use. When he said, I want you to build the ark, he said, this is the material that I want you to use. This is how I want you to do it. God gave the material. God said, this is how you do it. You must do it according to the way I'm telling you to do it. That's God's provided way. That's God's message. And God today, God has given a message of an angel with the material, with the right way to do it, and said, this is how you do it. And we must use that material. And we can't say, you know what, I'm going to put my interpretation with this material. The ark would not have stood the test. Remember, it's not the good times when you're going to, it's the bad times. It's during a time when you least expect it, when you will be tested in what you believe.
Right.
And that's where we're going to right now. Last scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 4 through 13. He says, for while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the word gave to every man. I have planted Apollos water, but God gave the increase. So then neither is it he that planted anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ, Jesus Christ. But if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And fire shall try every man's work of what sort he is. Our experience will be tried by fire. A ministry, every ministry will be tried by fire. That's why we must do it with the right material. Because as I was saying, if we put hay or stubble or things like that to try to build it, and though the building may look good, though the ministry might look good, during the midst of a fire, it will not stand the test. And brother and sister, that's the way it is with our experience. That's the way it is with that son sitting under the tutor. That's why it's so important that that son listen diligently to what that tutor's trying to tell him. Because some things the tutor may be telling him, he said, why is he even teaching me this stuff? Because I'm never going to have this problem. Because there will come a day, there will come an hour when he will least expect it. All of a sudden, exactly what the tutor was teaching me. He said, oh my gosh, I did need that. I did need that. That's why it's so important to listen to what the minister's preaching to you. Listen to what the tapes are saying to you. Because there is going to come a fire. There is going to come a trial. And it's coming to wreck your life. It's coming to steal your family. It's coming to drag you to the great tribulation period. That's why it's so important that we build it with the right material.
Amen.
We must build our experience with the right material, with the word that God gave. That's the message I'm trying so hard to get through tonight. It's not just this church, it's worldwide. God has given a message. We don't want to put our own interpretation, our own spin to it. Well, I think this means that we don't want to do that. It's a slippery slope. Stay with what the tape says.
Amen.
You say amen.
Amen.
It's all standing. The musicians step forth. I know this is not a service maybe you wanted. But I believe it's so hard, so. The Lord come across me just like a wind coming across me, just over and over with this same thought. I just pray that I get across the way he gave it. A couple of points I want to leave with. In order for a seed to come to maturity, it takes a lot, not just a lot, not just yesterday's lot. It takes today's lot to bring that seed to the full harvest of where it needs to be, where we need to take a body change.
Right.
You will not get that body change by walking under a glare of another light. We must have the light of this hour. We must have the revelation. We must have spiritual meat in due season. A spiritual meat where we are growing in the Lord. Our faith is growing. We're becoming. We know who we are, and we have the power inside of it. We say, I've got the power. He says, the bride will be an immense army because she'll have the word and she'll know what to do with it. Say amen.
Amen.
God has given us. God's given us the right material. We must say, Lord, help me to build my experience right. Because listen to me, there is a wind coming. And we got to be standing on the rock.
Amen.
Let's just bow our head. We're going to turn it to Elijah. Heavenly Father, we love you. I know I've chopped it all up tonight, Lord. I'm so sorry. Just try to get the message across, Lord. You have given us a tutor to bring us to maturity, Lord. And Lord, for almost 60 years, Lord, we've had a message of a prophet, Lord. And he showed us everything he preached. He went right back to this Bible, Lord. Lord, his mission was to get the people to believe you, Lord. And Father, as the prophet said, there's talking about, we've seen so many miracles that's come place, talking about the Pentecostals. He said it reminds him of the little painter that wanted to go paint. He said, I'm going to go paint the sea. And everyone said, where are you going? I'm going to go paint the sea. And some man that's lived by the ocean all of his life, he said, there's nothing to it. I've been here my whole life, and there was nothing exciting about it to him, Lord. Oh, God, let that not become us, Lord. That we've had this message, Lord, for almost 60 years, Lord. May it not come to the point where we say, I've been with this for 60 years. Oh, God, I ask you, Lord, help us to slow down, Lord. That we can see this is a message of an angel. An angel come down to turn our hearts back because judgment is coming on the earth. Oh God, we look at Israel and the thing that's going on over there, Lord. Men are having to sit in a chair while watching their families be tortured. That same spirit wants to come against the bride. That same spirit wants to come against the church. Oh God, I'm asking you, Lord, may we be alert tonight. May we shake ourselves tonight and say, oh great Holy Spirit, would you bring this sincerity back into our hearts, Lord? Oh Lord Jesus, that it would be such a desperation, Lord, just to be in your presence, Father. Oh God, I ask you to bring a revival into these people's hearts, Lord. I've tried so hard to reach them tonight, Lord. Lord, I ask you, Lord, when they go to their bedroom, Lord, that you would bring such a pull in their hearts, Lord, that they just got to get in your presence, oh God. Touch the mothers and the fathers, Lord. Oh, Jesus, would you come? Would you help us to get back to the token life, Lord? Back to a consecrated life, Lord. Men's hearts are failing for fear. They're failing for fear that the rapture's going to take place. It could happen tonight, Lord. It could happen tomorrow morning. Oh, Lord, I ask you that you would come. Would you search our hearts tonight, Lord? Oh, God, may we stay with the word the way you gave it to us, Lord. Would you help our pastor, Brother Tony, Lord? Lord, I ask you that you would strengthen our brother, Lord. That he would press the battle, Father. Lord, may he never turn to the left or to the right, Lord. But lead us to higher ground, Father. Oh, Lord, I'm calling your name tonight. Would you sweep over this little congregation tonight, Father? Lord, would you knock on every heart, Lord, that we can afresh say, Lord, come in. Lord, come in and just go through every part of my life. Father, if there be anything, Lord, there be anything that would hinder you from bringing me to my full maturity, Lord. Lord, I don't want to sit in the muck and the mire, Lord. I want to express this message the right way, Lord. May that be the cry of every heart tonight, Lord. Oh, come, Father. Well, we want the Holy Spirit to give a good report. We say, Lord, they received me. I come so simple, but they received me. Oh, drag it, Lord. We love you.
Instructions to put something together. Me and Malachi were putting a weightlifting set together. We had to use the instructions to go back and make sure we're doing that the right way, that we can do it that way. And the instructions been given. The Lord wants us to go back to His Word no matter what. And we just need to use what's been said by our ministry, Brother Tony and Brother Daniel, and the Word, and just press on. Go back to that every time, no matter what you're going through. That just, I hope y'all were fed like I was. I received something tonight, and I'm grateful for it. And I'm grateful for our ministry. Let's just sing The More I See.